This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Wow. Well, that was a real surprise. I guess the music's still playing. Well, surprise, Walter and Peter is not on today. It's the Black Rosebud takeover. So we're going to have a nice show. It's going to be a little different for you, you know, from your regular show. We're going to talk about the different aspect. I know you're used to talking about police and political views and things like that, but we're going to give you the opposite side of the political aspect. We're going to give you an aspect of the illegal side of the law. We're going to give you aspect of the ghetto side of the law, the penitentiary, sanctuary cities, drugs, Hispanics, gang banging, and all of those stuff. You know, we're going to give you the deep details of even some stuff about me and my personal life and where I came from and where I'm trying to go with my life. You know, and usually when we start the show, he usually do shout outs to fallen soldiers, police officers, and things like that. As you know, I don't know no ex-police officers. I don't know no fallen soldiers or anything like that because I used to be a criminal. So all my fallen soldiers are gang members and drug dealers and things like that. And I know you ain't trying to hear that. So I personally want to give a shout out to Kobe Bryant and his situation. It's been real big in L.A. It's been a lot of people been mourning about the whole situation, about Kobe and his daughter, you know, and the situation about how the plane went down. And there's been a lot of rumors and speculations and things like that, you know what I'm saying? But I think it was real tragic, you know, and I think L.A. has lost another great legend, a role model, and a man, you know, a man that anybody can look up to because he was a true father to his kids. You know, he was a proud father of his kids, and a proud father of kids as a black man is not too often. You got to push mute for a minute. It's not too in L.A. It's a big thing to see. You know, so no matter if you're a celebrity, if you're a regular person, you know, if you anybody, you know what I'm saying, a black person, a black man that has his kids with him on a consistent basis is a blessing and a really image to see and a sight to see, especially in Los Angeles where you have a lot of men that's not taking care of their babies, a lot of men is neglecting their responsibility, you know, and things like that. So to have an example of a black man that's taking care of his kid is real big. And having a black man this in L.A., period, he's done a lot of things for L.A. as far as bringing communities together and things like that through basketball. You know, they have basketball camps. I mean, you have just being a Laker, you know, it's a Drew basketball league that Kobe frequently visits, you know what I'm saying, sign autographs, hand out, you know, gifts and things like that. So he was real big in L.A. You know, he was like a native, even though he was from Philadelphia, he was a native L.A. We figured he was like a native son to Los Angeles. So the hurt is real big in L.A. You know, I don't know if you watched the Lakers game last night. It was a lot of people crying, a lot of tears, a lot of celebration, a lot of memories, a lot of just remembrance in Kobe Bryant's name and things like that, you know. So I want to give a special shout out to Kobe Bryant and his daughter. But I have a special guest today, you know what I'm saying, somebody that I've been knowing for a long period of time, somebody who's known me from the beginning of time, and you know what I'm saying, known me from the start of my journey. A lot of people don't know my journey of where I came from and the things I've been through and things like that. So I want to get into a little of that, you know what I'm saying, because you know a lot of people know my comedy, you know, and they know I used to be a Democrat and I used to be a liberal and they know I've changed, you know, and they don't know why I've changed or how I've changed or how far I've came or even the things I've been through, you know, to want to change, you know, and the life that I live that I have to change, you know, or it was going to be a situation that, you know, possibly could have cost me my life behind the penitentiary and things like that, you know. So I'm going to bring a special guest. You there, Carl?
Yeah, I'm right here, man. You know, thank you, man, for having me on, and I appreciate you. You know, wow, first of all, shout out to Kobe. Like you said, man, it's sad. It's sad. And the reason it's sad is because, like you said, I too, sharing that, I grew up fatherless, you know, without my father. My father left when I was 7. So to see a man take care of his responsibilities after, you know, the glamour, you know, he wasn't just a celebrity. He was a father, you know. The guy was an actual husband, you know. And to see him instill that in his kids, man, and you know, I've seen so much death that I was impacted by Kobe's death. But once I found out his daughter was on the plane, bro, that really, because, you know, we got kids, man, you know.
Yeah.
So I would just like to send a shout out to his family, man, and condolences, man. The guy was an icon, man. He helped us get through a lot of good bad times. Like, you know, I remember championships, you know, you'd be going through some stuff down here in where we come from. You know, you might have a bill and can't pay the bill, and, you know, it's a struggle down here. And then to watch a Laker game, man, and that dude will win a game or something, man, it just lift your spirit, man. He carried L.A. on his shoulders. So rest in peace, Kobe. And my name is Carl, man, and, you know, I met you some years ago, man. I think it's been a long time, man. It's been almost
been
20
time.
Years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I don't know too many people in my life that I could say, first to say about you, that inspired me. You were one of my support groups and inspired me, man, to keep on even through adversity. Because I wasn't an optimist. You know, I, you know that.
Yeah,
you know,
I was
negative about a lot of things that. I remember one of the things you told me was, you said, "Look, man, you can't never say never." And because me in this condition, because we was in a cell.
Because
me in this condition, and one of the things that you impacted me with, I seen you got a GED book in your hand. And I said, "Man, what you got the GED book for?" And you said, "Man, I'm going to take the GED. I said, "Well, Lionel." I said, "You know, you got a diploma. What you doing that for?" You say, "Man, I'm challenging myself right now. Just to challenge, give myself a challenge while I'm sitting in this box." And so I had to sit back and I looked at that. I didn't even have my GED one. I'm like, man, I'm struggling trying to get it. And it was because I was afraid, you know, to challenge myself. And so just watching you. And then I remember you used to sit there and you know, when everybody be hanging out on the yard or whatever, and I would come in and you would be sitting there writing your comedy script. I said, "Man, what you doing?" You like, "Man, I'm writing my own comedy. I don't want nobody writing my scripts for me. And I'm serious about it." So, you know, coming from where we come from, dudes say, "I'm going to be a rapper. I'm going to be, you know, this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this."
Hold on. We're going to have to take a small commercial break. We'll be right back when the commercial go off. We're going to keep on talking about what we're talking about. We'll be right back when the commercial go off. Tune back in.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, "Oh, there's no voter fraud in our country."
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999, text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com, defendapatriot.com.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials. Meow.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to asked you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
I got to, but before we get into, you know, saying some more of our background thing, I got, you know, a couple of questions to ask. You know, because we own a channel, you know, we probably got a lot of white listeners listening. They don't really know about the black experience, the ghetto experience. And I know they kind of curious about that. You feel me? They, you know, they like politics and things like that. So we going to give them what they want right quick. Now, are you, now I've been knowing you for a little while. I know you didn't know I was into politics. You know, you probably just found out I was into politics and things like that, you know, because I was into some other stuff back when we first met. Now, do you know a little bit about politics? Do you know what's going on in as far as Donald Trump and things like that?
Well, yeah, you know, of course, you know, but, you know, once you start talking politics, man, you know, they want to come after you. So, yeah, I mean, I know a little bit, but probably not as much as you, because, like I say, man, your brilliance is and your mind is a little different from mine, you know, and where you at in your growth. But, yeah, I could, you know, I pay attention. I mean, yeah.
I'm gonna pick apart your mind right quick, you know, and I want to see, how do you get your information? Are you getting the right information about, you know, what's going on in the world? Because a lot of what I do is I take a lot of I have the gift of being intelligent, like you say, you know, so I've done my research, and I have the gift of being ghetto. It's a perfect combination. So what I'm able to do is I'm able to take the educated information from I get from politics and from the news, and I'm able to translate that into a black version, you know what I'm saying, to get black people to listen, no matter if it's negative or good, you know what I'm saying? They need to know what's affecting them and things like that, you know what I'm saying, in the community. Now, do you know, like, I didn't know a lot of things Donald Trump had done for the communities, for black people in general and things like that, until I got on this side and I started doing the research. Now, me and you both, we have a background. If anybody don't know, this is my, you know, this is the person I was in the penitentiary with. We were cellmates, you know what I'm saying, for a couple of years, and we've been through a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying? We've been through disagreements, you know what I'm saying, with us, almost fighting words, and we've been through a lot of stuff. We've been protecting each other from other people, you know what I'm saying, other gang members. I mean, we have a long history, right? And what a lot of people don't know is, a lot of people watching is listening to this radio, and they don't know the other side about, you know what I'm saying, jail and penitentiary and things like that. Now, Donald Trump signed a First Act bill into effect. Do you know what the First Step Act is?
No, I don't want to. One thing I don't like to do is answer questions that I have no idea. So you might want to enlighten me. And then once we get into it, yeah. But I know one thing he did was prison reform. He signed the bill
for prison reform. That's a prison reform. First act.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, me and you coming from where we come from, we know how big just that is alone in our community. You know what I'm saying? As far as prison reform and letting people out who's been on trumped up charges, because we all know people who've been to penitentiary for $5 worth of cracking that got life in jail and things like that. We don't know people that's been in the feds for years.
Right.
Yeah. Slice of pizza, you know, and that's real big in our community. So tell me your opinion on, like I say, like prison reform and things like that. Barack Obama didn't really get that done. Do you think that was a failure in the Barack Obama administration or not to get that done, and it could have been part of his legacy?
Of course. And in my, I don't do the color lines and all that stuff. I do humanity now, collaboration. So my thing is being a realist. Where we come from, you know, everybody always talking about, be real, speak your mind, be transparent, or whatever the case is, right? And one thing about Trump, man, he's transparent. You know, the dude ain't playing, man. He's going to tell you, man, if you got freckles on your face, you got freckles on your face, and that's what it is. I actually respect him as a black man. I'm just being honest. Him as a human being, him as a father. I tell people this all the time, right? And then they're like, you know, my wife, we have these, she can't stand Trump, right? And so me and her, it's a division there inside of the house, because like I told her, baby, I'm home because Trump didn't veto 57, okay? Like, he didn't want to keep me locked up like an animal. He wanted me to come home and re-enter society with reform, right, and transition back into the community, and to save the taxpayers a lot of money, right? Because they're booking the taxpayers for a whole bunch of stuff that they're not even giving us, man. You know, you get in there. If you don't got family, man, and you go in there, you don't have the resources to get yourself together, you know, to move forward. Let me show you what I mean. We go in the cell, they give you a roll of toilet paper and one bar of soap. That's the last you for the whole month.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, right.
So I don't know what they're telling the taxpayers they're giving us. So we're not getting funded the way we're supposed to give us the necessities that we need to move forward and become responding versus resisting. So, yeah, I respect Trump, man. I respect Trump. He's the first one of the presidents one thing I respect about Trump is Trump didn't take pay for office, first of all. He said, I don't even want your money, right?
Yeah.
We're going to get this economic scheme of things together. First of all, because richest country in the world in the national debt, you know.
Exactly. I got to ask you another question while we're on debts and things like that. Going outside, just driving around L.A., you see the homeless situation, right? You know, we all know somebody homeless and things like that.
Wow.
Now, Donald Trump talking about sending the feds out here, you know, to take over the homeless situation because something ain't going right. Yeah, we had a spike in homelessness last year by 16% in California, you know, and that's one of the biggest in the nation. You know what I'm saying? We go by and we starting to see homeless encampments pop up because when we was younger, we didn't see people sleeping in tents all day on bus stops and things like that, you know? So how do you feel the homeless situation is being handled out here, and how do you think it can get better?
I can tell you right now, and one of the things, I'm going to go back to something you taught me years ago, but I'm going to go, first of all, what the problem is. The problem is gentrification, okay?
Uh-huh.
Gentrification is real, okay? So now you're building the Staples Center, the Nokia, these new facilities around here, and then you got these moguls, they buying up everything. So what happens? The cost of living is going to go up. Okay. Now,
yeah.
The cost of living goes up. You take a person that's going through something. Let them use myself. I was abused as a child. So my mind state was I accrued a lot of stuff, and I never processed, like, why I behave the way I behave. So now while I'm stuck in my own psychosis, right,
yeah,
I'm not only stuck in that psychosis, I'm stuck in a financial rut, too. So what is it doing?
Yeah.
It's putting me at risk of being homeless, right? One thing, now, going back to you, one thing you taught me that I just started using is being frugal. Right, I remember, man, you would take a 20 soups and make it last 3 months. I said, man, what are you doing? Man, what are you doing? You say, look, man, we're going to eat on the weekends, and I'm going to show you why. And so would you would eat only on the weekends your soups because it ended up scratching up for that 90 days. You was getting packages every 90 days, right?
Exactly.
Being frugal. So now, okay, let's get to the core of the problem. First, you got to get to the core of your self-problem, right? Why you self-deviating? Then we need to start educating people on being frugal because gentrification is coming, man. You know, all these people moving out to Lancaster, and all it takes is some mogul to go buy a site, put a Walmart right there, and, you know, some other stuff, and a club or something, or a casino, and there you have it. We're going to start homelessness. So basically, the rich getting richer.
So I've been out and I've been talking to a lot of homeless people as far as like doing interviews and things like that. You know, I've been out even feeding the homeless and things like that. And what I've learned is it's a lot of mental health dealing with homeless people, right? Right? Because a lot of people like downtown, they can't afford drugs. They don't have no hustle. They don't have no family members. They don't have the mental capacity, you know what I'm saying, to go out and create money or even to buy drugs or even create money to buy food. You know, so it's a lot of people that's down there that has mental health issues, no matter if it's hereditary or if it came off of drugs. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people who went through, got mental health because they had drug addictions and things like that, and drugs took their mind away. But if you go downtown, there's a lot of people that's walking zombies out there. They have no direction. They have no guidance. They have no structure. Oh, it's time for a commercial break. We'll be right back on 75 Radio, discussing good topics and bad topics and sanctuary cities and all that. We'll be back with my co-host, Carl, the devil. We out. I'll be back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Senate has voted to not allow witnesses and documents in President Trump's impeachment trial. Two Republican senators broke rank and voted yes, Susan Collins and Mitt Romney. All others were along party lines. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said it will be remembered as the day the Senate did not live up to its responsibilities and went along with a sham trial. It's the final weekend before the Iowa presidential caucuses, and one Democrat has dropped out of the race, former Maryland Congressman John Delaney.
I've campaigned harder than anyone in Iowa. I've been to all 99 counties. I've done hundreds of events across this great state. But it's clear to me on Monday, on caucus night, I will not have sufficient support to get to the 15% viability threshold.
This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation of world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
The government is taking several new steps aimed at preventing the spread of the coronavirus in the U.S. It was announced by the president's task force. They first reassured the public. CDC Director Robert Redfield.
The risk to the American public currently is low.
But Health and Human Service Secretary Alex Azar is issuing the U.S. health emergency to stop any spread of coronavirus. Citizens returning from the infected region of China will be self-quarantined of up to 14 days. Also, the president has issued a directive.
Temporarily suspending the entry into the United States of foreign nationals who pose a risk of transmitting the 2019 novel coronavirus.
It takes effect Sunday evening. On Wall Street Friday, investors are concerned about the virus. The Dow is down 603 points, the S&P down 58, and the Nasdaq down 148. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
You're still listening. We hope you're still tuned in. I got my homeboy Carl, the devil. We go by nicknames up here, Carl. We, you know, we on the station 7-5 where we have some police that we probably would have got along with. You know what I'm saying? That was
Oh yeah, you know. Hey man, yeah, it's you know, the thing, man, one thing, like I say, I don't wanna get off course because I know you gotta keep everything tight, but I just really wanna say that hey man, you should go ahead and write a book because I use you as an inspiration in my transition to change, man. And some of your views, we share some of the same views and your opinions, man. They need to be heard. And I believe that this will help create a movement of to stop a lot of people, not just blacks, but people in general that's going through stagnation, self-deviation, man, to better themselves and be educated in areas, man, that, you know, they need to be educated in so they can move forward in this life to collaborate.
What I try to do also, you know what I'm saying, is you know, a lot of, you know, I hate to say it, you know what I'm saying, my people, you know, a lot of black people don't like to read, you feel what I'm saying? So I try to put it in a joke in comedy form so people can laugh and still get the message, you know, because, you know, I would love to, you know, I love writing. That's all, I mean, I'm writing right as we speak. You feel what I'm saying? I stay with notebooks and things like that, but I would love to write a book, you know what I'm saying? But if I write a book, I got to also do an audio, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I got to get both sides, because what I want to do is I'm bridging a gap between black and white people. You know what I'm saying? I'm being sponsored by a lot of white people because I do political jokes, and they know, and they understand the views I have, and they understand that the message I'm sending, you know what I'm saying? And I have
can I show you what I mean, like, and I get what you're saying, right? Like, you took a lot of influences from your Uncle Bone, man, who raised you, man. Rest his soul. And I remember that. And I remember one of the things you told me, man, and I use it today. You know, I got a folder, man, of accolades, man, all the way down to, I'm a blueprint reader. And it was something that you said to me. You said, listen, man, you talk about a whole lot of stuff. He was getting on me one day. I never forget it. And I was like, man, who this dude think he is? You know,
and
you said, you would rather, my Uncle Bone told me, you say, you would rather, son, learn a little bit about everything than a whole lot about nothing or something in that fashion.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my key things in my life right there.
Right. Learn a little bit about everything, and let me show you what I mean. Like, if you notice, my vocabulary is different, right? The first thing I heard was gentrification, right? What does that word mean? So I read it and it said to beautify. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, how does that apply to this? So you got to sit back and start learning words, processing to get an understanding. Once you get an understanding, then you can move forward. And that's what you gave me, man. You know, and it's one thing you never did was back on where you came from. You're still down here, man, you know? With the little people, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I see where I've seen how you've grown. So when you mention politics and where you at now, you're growing, I'm not surprised, man, at all.
Yeah, it was one thing I want to do, right? Because like you say, teaching people, right? And it's a lot of people that's uneducated into the things that's happening to them, right? And it's a lot of black people don't know that the benefits, you know what I'm saying, that they're receiving right now, that they can they can really reap off of if they get off their tail and go out and take advantage of the opportunities. There's a lot of people hating on Donald Trump, a lot of black people hating on Donald Trump, and they don't know why they hate on Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is pouring money to historical black colleges. You know what I'm saying? He opened up, he got opportunity zones. He took away a gang of regulations that allow black people, you know what I'm saying, to get jobs and things like that. So it's a lot of things that's happened in our community that we're not aware of, and we're not taking advantage of. So what I do is I go get the research, you know what I'm saying, and things like that, so I can educate black people, so I can have black people like I never knew I was conservative, you know what I'm saying? All this time I've been following Democrats and you know what I'm saying, and I always had a conservative views. It's not until I started like looking up these things, you know what I'm saying, as far as like immigration. You know about immigration. You know how we feel about Hispanics, blacks and things like that, feel about Hispanics in our neighborhoods. You know, they're taking over. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them is racist towards us and things like that. A lot of illegals, you get hit by somebody illegal. You know what I'm saying? They may not have insurance, you know, the housing situation and things like that. So, you know, it's a lot of, and I always thought like, damn, like, you know, what if black people, what if, like, it wasn't all these illegal citizens over here, you know what I'm saying, taking up all these jobs, there'd be a lot more black people in construction and, you know what I'm saying, this in everyday labor jobs and unions and things, you know, that we don't have opportunity to be in right now because the Hispanics control that, you know what I'm saying? A lot of
correct,
it is illegal.
Correct. And I'm glad you said that, right? I'm sorry. I'm glad you said that because you're correct, right? And I'm going to tell you why you're correct. First thing people hear is Donald Trump trying to do immigration reform and they think the border of Mexico. We talking Africa. We talking China.
Yeah.
We talking, right? First of all, when you go fill out an application, the first thing they ask you on that application when you come on down all the way down is, are you a U.S. citizen?
Yeah.
Okay? I was born on this soil, okay? I'm probably a descendant from Africa, but I'm a United States citizen. So that means first class. That means I get the first dibs on everything, right? As far as economic. This is why we're in a richest country in the world, national debt, economic battle. You got your U.S. citizens on this soil, homeless.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Doing bad.
Homeless.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're correct. Your political views is on point. And then I noticed you said Donald Trump is a man. That's the first thing I do is look at a person as a man before I judge him on his bad or does his good outweigh his bad. Does Donald Trump's good outweigh his bad? Let's not. He didn't never have to do nothing for me. You know why he was a good man in my eyes? Because my father left when I was 7, bro.
Yeah.
My father left when I was 7, man. I didn't even know my father. I had nobody to show me how to throw a baseball. I had to learn all that stuff on my own. Then I'm the eldest sibling, the only boy, right?
Yeah.
The only young man in the it's all women. Hold on.
Yeah.
So you, before I judge you on your geographical, we was technically enemies on the street. You know that.
Yeah.
So the trust factor didn't come in. But what made me start trusting and had love for you as a man was I loved the way you talked about your kids, bro. I love the way you want to structure for your boys. You know what I'm saying? How you talked about your mom and rebuilding family. You still never gave up on that. So that's a good man. See, it's easy to be a male, but being a man is two different things. Now, Donald Trump is a man. In my eyes, one, he raised his kids. Okay? Let's just use Bruce Jenner real quick. Not that everybody want to judge Bruce Jenner on him doing whatever he did. I don't want to get into that. But did Bruce Jenner walk his kids down the stage? Hold on.
Yeah.
They forgot about that. All his kids are successful, okay? His dinners are successful. So he stays. So now once his kids got grown, is it his right to do what he wants to do as a man? Okay, he's still a man in my eyes. I'm like, well, not technically. I don't want to say that on there. But,
you know what I mean?
But not to disrespect that person, right? So because we don't need that. But the thing about it is I'm not judging that. I'm looking at what you did with your children. I'm looking at what Lionel or Black did with his children. I'm looking at how did Donald Trump do as a man? Because my father didn't even do the things Donald Trump did with his kids.
Exactly, and if you was and you would love to be a descendant of somebody like Donald Trump, you know what I'm saying, that puts you in a position of power, that puts you in a position, you know, that's why I'm trying to put my son in, right? Like, I'm trying to tell my son, hey, do this comedy, and you know what I'm saying, and I got you, because I'm trying to put him in a position of power, you know, like Donald Trump put his kids in a position of power, you know, and things like that. But it's a lot of people don't understand that, because, like, ain't that Martin Luther King, wasn't that his dream to not look at a person's color, but to look at the content of his character, you know what I'm saying? So if I'm looking at somebody's content of their character and what they're doing as far as getting people jobs, you know what I'm saying, passing laws and things like that that help me and my community like that, I have to give him the thumbs up, you know what I'm saying, because the last president didn't do nothing for my community or nothing to help me, you know what I'm saying, prosper or help me benefit in my community or help me even give back to my community. You know what I'm saying? Donald Trump and the Donald Trump supporters are allowing me to give back to my community. I can go out and I can give out pizzas. I can go out and I can feed the homeless chicken. Even sometimes give cigarettes and beer out if need be. You know, but it's because of Donald Trump supporters understanding me and I want to give back to my community that they allow me to. They don't say there is no color line. They don't care if I give it to Black people, white people, Mexicans. As long as I'm helping people, they understand that, right? And it's a misconception about Republicans and certain people of political parties and things, you know, because if you automatically associate white people with Republicans, you automatically think they're racist, or you know they're, or you if you are attacking Donald Trump, you know it comes with some kind of baggage, you know. And what I'm doing,
can I say something? Yeah. Not to cut your point, you know, because I don't want to, you know, I want to really, because, you know, I have to be mindful of what we're saying here, right? So here's the thing. Donald Trump don't care nothing about no color or white, black. It's only one color that rules this world, and that's green.
We got another commercial break. We'll be right back on 75 Radio, you know. Tune in. Don't go away. We got deep conversation with black folks. We out of here. We'll be right back.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
As we approach the last segment, you know, I got my co-host Carl on the station with me. I got a question to ask you, Carl, before we get up out of here. You know, it's the last segment of the show. You know, what is it that you would like people to know You know, because people listening that, you know, maybe can help somebody or maybe can make a change or, you know, or any or something like that, because a lot of, you know, there's a lot of powerful people that listen to this show. What would you say as far as our community and our people in this, in aspect, in every aspect, what would you say that we need most in our communities?
What we need most in our communities is people to stop brainwashing people, right? And people stop believing stuff. Like you said, one thing you said is research, right? For instance, one of my pet peeves is they always say the money is the root to all evil. Okay. But my daughter needs diapers. I don't walk in the store and steal the diapers. I got to go pay for the diapers. Okay.
Exactly.
I believe that homelessness is the root to all evil, because when people are homeless, it raises the crime rate, right? We need to stop homelessness and stop giving people these thoughts, this process of words that don't even, it's not true. Money is not the root to all evil, right? Because you go in the church house, the pastor going to pass the basket around. And when you ask why he's passing the basket around, he's going to look up and say, we need electricity in the church.
Okay?
Right? So miseducating the people, misleading the people, right? Misleading people for capital gain. And let's start helping people get to the root of their problem, bro. Like for me, I had to figure out what was wrong with Carl. And I figured it out. I was reprojecting a whole lot of stuff that didn't happen. Okay, I went through some stuff. Miles was poor. Miles was on crack, right? And then I said, I used that as a way to self-destruct. No, and then people like you helped me come up out of that, right? So we got to start grabbing people, man. I'm not talking about just blacks, anybody, because it could be a white man in that position. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And last but not least, I'm going to leave people with this. If you're a part of the problem, then you're not a part of the solution. Show you. I choose not to work for Caltrans. I was offered a job with Caltrans. I didn't take it because I'm not going to go around tearing down something that people don't already have. They're tearing down homeless camps. Okay? So you're taking these people. And when I ride past and I see that, that's something I don't want to be a part of, because then I become a part of the problem. Right? Let's become a part of the solution. And let's start helping one another. Collaboration.
It's hard. It's hard to, like I say, it's hard. Like I say, like, that's why I'm glad I have the gift of comedy, because people will listen to you if you make them laugh. You know what I'm saying? They're going to get the message. Like, it's one thing. It's a lot of political comedians like Chris Rock and even Cat Williams are political on certain aspects, you know, and you can get their message. Cat Williams used to talk a lot about the Illuminati, you know what I'm saying, and things like that, and what Hollywood was doing, and all the weird stuff happening behind the scenes. He even put some people on blast. That's what Cat Williams, he's a political comedian. A lot of people don't know that, you know what I'm saying, that he actually give people information, you know what I'm saying, with his comedy, you know. And that's kind of with me. I give information with my comedy, and I'm able to turn situations that are not supposed to be funny. I'm able to make people laugh. I mean, not laugh at it, but endure the tragedies that I talk about through laughter, you know, instead of looking at it.
Can I say something to you real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because, you know, I was in prison. You know, you just stayed out, man. You know, you did what you said you was going to do. You stayed out of prison. But me, I've been back and forth, right, and I'm starting to get it now. But one of the things that was hard for me when I got back home to transition was technology, man. It's so, you know, like dealing with this phone, trying to, you know, build a email account, because everything is based on we need to start educating people when they come home, re-enter society on this technology, man, because they're so far behind. Because if you're not keeping up with technology, there's no way you can get, there's no way you can move forward in this life. And, you know, like, you know, everything I got to do is automated now. I got to go on the line. I got to, you know, process this. Even with EDD, you lose your job, you can't just walk into EDD no more like that. You got to go get on a computer. So we need to really start getting people into these computers, into this technology. If you're raising children, get them into the tech side of things, because that's where the money is at.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of people don't know that. And it's a lot of machines that's taking over. A lot of, you know, everything has become automated. You know, they're talking about being able to faster Uber. They're talking about being able to fly your food to you with drones and things like that. So they've been talking about cutting out Uber in a couple of years, because everything is going to be so... like you say, technology is going to speed up. Like, I just done a show on technology. You know, a lot of people are having these sex dolls and having sex with these sexual dolls that act and talk human and have personality and feelings and things like that. So it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot. Technology is coming to the point where people are getting medical procedures overseas, you know what I'm saying, through technology. You know, doctor be in China, you being in Compton somewhere, and he able to work on your knee through technology. So it's a lot of things, like you said, it's a lot of things that people need to learn because technology goes so fast. Even me, I'm still learning technology. There's a lot of things I still don't know as far as like phones and computers and things like that. Like all weekend yesterday, I've been trying to find out how to edit new videos on my computer and things like that so I can get out videos faster and things like that because I've been used to doing it on my phone. They changed the editor. So, you know, you got to catch up with technology. Like you said, a lot of people are back, you know what I'm saying, technology. And I'm not talking about just black people. I'm talking about people in the hood, in the ghetto, period, you know what I'm saying, or where we come from, period, are just lost, you know. And like you said, we need to catch up. But like I say,
You'll be surprised how many people don't even. I just took a class the other day on how to properly use my email account. And it was so many features to that email, you know, business-wise, because of my job, you know, the job that I work for. And so my boss, he said, look, you guys, this is the biggest thing, how it seems like I'm in 100 places at one time and I get a lot done. He said, man, I get a lot done through email. I mean, I think, you know, email, you get the email, you respond to it, and it's not just that simple. You know, it's more to the email, especially when you're dealing in business, because like I say, everything is tech now. You know, you got to go on computers, you got to go on your phone and live your life, you know, paying bills and things of that nature. So mind somebody being locked up 30, 40 years, right, for a piece of pizza, slice of pizza. Then you throw him back in the community, right, and you expect him to not go back to the old things that he do out of frustration, right, because, well, first of all, he got to get some type of schooling, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just not enough to go around because of greed, bro. We should be educating our people. This is the richest country in the world in the national debt. We shouldn't have people on our soil sleeping like they are from a third world country. No disrespect, right? No disrespect. Mm-hmm. And then you running over here getting in their business when we got business over here. You see what I'm saying? We got homeless people in the United States right now, and it shouldn't be that way.
I looked on China. China. I looked up ghost cities, you know, and things like that, right? And they got a lot of empty cities that's ghost cities. But they also have a lot of empty cities inside of the United States that has no people, nobody living in it and things like that, have actual housing facilities and things. It may not be the best housing facilities, but it's better than the housing facilities that people are in right now that's sleeping in tents on the street. Well, you know what I'm saying? Where you can put a little bit of money into these things and fix them up. You know, there's people who are building these little HUD houses for the homeless and things like that, but it's not enough. So what I'm saying is we support all these basketball players and football players. We buy these headphones and you know, buy their shoes and, you know what I'm saying, support whatever liquor they own and things like that, you know, but you don't see a lot of these same people, you know, giving back to the community. And then the person that's in the community that needs the help, you know what I'm saying, like, say like me, right? People will, like, I got Nipsey Hussle shirts. People would not buy a shirt from me saying Kobe Bryant or something like that, you know what I'm saying, but they'll buy a shirt from Nike to say Kobe Bryant, you know what I'm saying, because they feel that they, you know what I'm saying, Nike should be owed the money, you know what I'm saying? So you're giving your money to somebody who don't really need the money, but somebody who really needs the money that's in the hood of struggling, you know what I'm saying? You look over them, you know,
I think we need to change that. Now I'm glad you said that, right? Back to that again, man. You know, hypocrisy, man. Hypocrisy. it's ironic and it's crazy, man, that how our views are over here as a people, right? You notice how I say as a people, right? Because we human beings, man, you know, and I don't want to just come from all the way a subjective standpoint. But at the same time, some of the stuff, man, that go on over here, especially second chance opportunities. Okay, y'all say forgiveness go a long way. You ask me to forgive, right? But you won't forgive me. Okay, I committed a crime, right? And I come home and I'm trying to get it back together. And I'm proving to y'all that, hey, man, I'm trying to change. So why can't a man get a second chance at being a police officer or being in the army or getting a job that he could, you know, could take care of his family with if he's proven to you that he could come out here and get his act together? Or you didn't even go back into his background and say, why did this dude act like this in the first place?
Exactly, oh, you know, exactly.
a condition, right? Hold on, a condition. He, his father, like my father senior, my mother by 15 years. He was 35, fresh out the military. I believe in my heart that the United States owed me. Let me show you why. My father went over to Vietnam. That's
I think, I think that's the end of this show. But we're going to have to continue. We, me and Carl, we're going to continue this conversation probably on another one of my channels. It was nice filling in, you know, for Walter and Pete. You know what I'm saying? They'll be back on the next show. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully we'll be back on another show. You know, and I'll talk to you live next time. Tune back in at 7-5 Radio. Love you too, man. We out.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.